You're listening to the DolphinsTalk.com Podcast Network.
You're listening to DolphinsTalk.com Daily, the most listened to daily Miami Dolphins podcast on the internet. Come on, Dolphins fans. Time to fins up.
Miami's got the Dolphins, the greatest football team. We take the ball from goal to goal like no one's ever seen.
Good evening, Miami Dolphins fans. How are you tonight? And thank you for listening to the DolphinsTalk.com podcast. On today's show, I am joined by a very special guest, the author of the new book, Spies on the Sidelines, the high-stakes world of NFL espionage, Kevin Bryant. You can follow Kevin on Twitter at Kevin Bryant Author, and you can get his book on Amazon and also go to the website, spiesonthesidelines.com. Kevin, how are you doing tonight?
Oh, I'm doing great. Thanks a bunch for having me on.
Absolutely. This is a very interesting topic, and I think it's one that fans are really going to enjoy hearing about. So you are an Army veteran with over 20 years of experience gathering information for the Department of Defense, and you worked 13 years as a special agent. How do you take that and transform it into writing this book? What was the sort of path to lead you to write this book about NFL espionage?
Yeah, so I've been looking to write a book for quite some time. I was working on two master's degrees, one in intelligence studies and another one in sports management. And as I was finishing those up, I was thinking, you know, well, Spygate 2 happened, which was when, you know, Josh McDaniels became the head coach of the Broncos and brought with him a former Patriots videographer who had been involved in recording signals during the Spygate scandal and ended up taping another team's some practice footage. And everybody involved in that got in trouble. And being a Broncos fan myself, I just began to wonder how much spying really goes on in the NFL. And so I started researching the topic and realized that there are really just a ton of great stories that are out there, but that had never been put together in a book before. And so since I had wanted to write it and I had the background for it, I said, you know what, this is my chance and this is my subject. So away I went.
Yeah, and you sort of talk about spying on practices, taking paperwork and signals and sort of stealing that and debriefing personnel that switch teams. Now that's interesting to us Dolphins fans because for the past three or so years, Miami always plays the Patriots week one. And it seems like the Patriots will always take one of the players who were recently released by the Miami Dolphins at the end of training camp and sign them. And then a week or two later, they let the guy go. And I'm guessing that would fall under the debriefing personnel area. Talk a little bit about that.
So, yeah, I mean, you know, it's a smart thing to do. And what happens frequently is that some teams will use their last couple roster spots solely for that purpose of, you know, bringing in some players that have recently been cut by opponents they're about to play, or even just picking people up on the practice squad for that purpose. So, you know, and a great example of this happened in 97. The Patriots did this with Keith Byers, who used to be a fullback for the Dolphins. Yep. They picked him up. They brought him on board. And Keith Byers ended up teaching the Patriots all of Miami's defensive signals. And as you know, as a result, Patriots won pretty handily, 17-3. But you know, that's par for the course in the NFL. You know, all teams are doing that, and it's permissible. So you know, if it's a good idea to be doing it.
Yeah, and absolutely, that's not. I think that's just being smart because you can sign a player from another team. You can sort of pick his brain and get all the information you want about what that team is sort of preparing to do and sort of how they run things. Spying on practices. We all know the story about the Patriots before the Super Bowl with the Rams and everything that went down there. Spygate, that whole world. Aside from that, how common of a practice is it? Are there certain teams and coaches that sort of do that more than others? The spying on practice, to me, that there's a line. If you sign a guy who was just cut by another team, that's fair game. That's just sort of smart, like we said. The spying on practices, I think, crosses a line into blatant cheating. How common of a practice is that?
So it's, you know, I've got stories all in the book about
just teams, give me one. You don't have to tell me all of them, obviously.
Right, yeah. Right. But it is a common practice. I won't say, you know, it's super common, but you can pretty much, you know, safely assume that at least every season there is some form of spying on practices going on by one team or another. So I'll give you an example. Here's a Dolphins example. So in 1966, the Chiefs used a roving photographer who supposedly who worked for a TV channel, and he was around taking pictures of the games. But when the Chiefs played the Dolphins, this photographer, he had a habit of going over into the Dolphins sidelines. And whenever he would overhear some critical piece of information, he would go running back over to the Chiefs sidelines and tell the information. And as a result of this, that happened on 5 occasions. On 4 of those occasions, it led to a Chiefs interception. Okay. So they intercepted the Dolphins 4 times using that technique. And this wasn't just a Miami addressing this issue. Houston, earlier in the issue, had noticed the exact same thing and reported it to the NFL as well. So, you know, that's not actually a spying on practice. That's a spying during a game, you know. But spying on in practices, you know, I've got stories in my book of George Allen.
That's the best coach. One. That's
yeah, the with, best with one. The Rams. Actually, yeah. Allegedly using a little person, putting him in a stroller with a video camera, right? And pushing him, having a lady, you know, playing the role of his mother, pushing him by the practice of the Colts to, you know, to film some of this and gain some footage. You know, another great story, which I love, is Sid Gilman with the Chargers. Right. So they're playing in the AFL championship game against the Chiefs. And Sid Gilman calls up the Patriots coach and Coach Holovac and says, "Hey, I've got everything set up for you down here in San Diego where the championship game is going to be played. Okay. You're going to practice on a Marine base. Just come on down here and enjoy yourselves." Coach Holovac's like, "Oh, thanks. What a nice guy." What he doesn't know is that Sid Gilman has arranged for a couple of his assistants to acquire Marine uniforms and has them at the sidelines for the Patriots to help them out with whatever they may need. And as a result, these guys watch everything that's happening in practice and know everything that the Patriots are going to run for the championship game. As a result, the Chargers win it 51-7. Okay. And rack up over 600 yards of offense. Okay. We're talking in the 60s. 600 yards of offense.
Yes, yeah.
Right?
Crazy.
And, you know, so, you know, it just goes to show, man, teams will go to extremes to spy on each other's practices. And, of course, today, you know, you've got a threat of drones out there. So it's more than just people. It's how can technology be used to spy against you?
Yes. And everyone talks about the Patriots. The Patriots fans and the Patriots people say, "Hey, look, everyone's doing this. We just got caught." They don't even admit they got caught, really. Spygate and all things there, like with the footballs being under inflated and all that stuff. Mm-hmm. Are the Patriots, it's probably not a fair question, but are they, like, they're known as the worst offenders of this? Are there certain players or certain, I shouldn't say players, certain teams, certain coaches, to your knowledge, after you wrote this book and did all this research, where you say, "Yeah, those guys are habitual cheaters," and they have been for years, opposed to some others, which is just sort of like a one-off type situation?
Yeah, so there are a laundry list of coaches, I'll put it that way.
More than anything, yeah.
Right? That have employed very controversial tactics, many of which, you know, violate league rules or bylaws, right? So I'll list a few of those to give you an idea, you know, through the history of guys we're looking at. George Halas with the Bears, right? Considered the founder of the NFL. That's how far back this stuff goes, okay? Sid Gilman with the Chargers. George Allen with the Rams, rated the Redskins. Al Davis with the Raiders. Paul Brown, who the Cleveland Browns are named after, right?
Yeah.
And today, of course, you know, we've got Belichick. So what I will say is, at almost any point in the NFL's history, there is a coach that is willing to cross those lines. It has varied, you know, what team they belong to. And sometimes you have multiple guys that are willing to do this, like Hank Stram with the Chiefs, Sid Gilman with the Chargers, and Al Davis with the Raiders, all at the same time, all in the AFC West. You know, I mean, you know, talk about, you know, I'm talking about a wild time back there, making for some great stories. Typically it's kind of like it is today. You know, you may have one or two teams that are involved in this type of stuff, and everyone else is, they'll use the permissible techniques and they'll use what I call some of the controversial techniques. Okay. Stealing signals, you know, in a legal way, not recording them. Okay.
Yeah, that's fair game. I always thought,
right.
That's fair.
Or lip reading, you know, that's trying to read too. A coach's lips, right?
Yep.
There's no rules against it. Right. But some coaches are going to go, and that's kind of shady. I wouldn't do that. So, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. Because when you look at today's game, it's so sophisticated. The technology is so sophisticated. And a lot of these coaches, if you watch these coaches at press conferences, they talk about their team like it is the military. I can't tell you who's hurt. I can't tell you who's at practice. It's like they're always looking for an edge. And all this leads to is that edge. Was there, I guess you kind of answered this already, were there any guys that through your research sort of you found out, even when they were handed stuff, refused to do it? I know there's a story about Shula, which I don't know if that's in your book. He was handed the playbook. I think it was to the Raiders maybe. And he goes, nope, don't want it. And did you ever see the other side of this where some coaches were like, they would just try to avoid this at all costs?
Yeah. So, I mean, I've got some incidences in the book of where, like, you know, a team wants to debrief a player that just switched teams. And he's like, no, not going to do it. You know, and that type of stuff, it does happen. Or there was once a playbook that a player tried to sell to another team. Okay. And the other team turned it over to the FBI. You know, and so absolutely there are, you know, there are coaches that, you know, a lot of coaches that, you know, they want to play by the rule book, you know, they don't want to go down that road of breaking NFL rules and bylaws. They want to act in an ethical manner. There are certainly those. And there's a lot of others that, you know, they'd be perfectly happy to take a rule book, a playbook from another team. And, you know, the art of playbook stealing is something that has gone on throughout the NFL's history, and lots of coaches, I mean, tons of them are involved in that. Some coaches have had almost a playbook from every single team around the league. And today, of course, you know, instead of trying to steal that paper copy, you can potentially go after the electronic copy. Because these things are held on tablets these days, right?
Yeah.
And I was just talking to an expert on drones who his company also dabbles in, you know, all things signals and electronic. And he was telling me, you know what, Kevin, here's what a team could do if they wanted to. If the other team had their tablet on the practice field and connected to Wi-Fi, you could just fly a drone overhead or park or just land it at that, you know, near that practice field. And using over-the-counter software, okay, just software you can pick up in any old store, that you could actually download the information that is on that playbook through Wi-Fi, okay, and obtain the other team's playbook. So you know, this is, there's a lot of stuff that NFL teams have to be worried about, and there's certainly a lot of espionage going on.
Yeah, it really is eye-opening, because we all hear about this stuff, and some people think, some, you know, you got each extreme. Some people think it's always happening with everybody. Everyone's cheating. It is. And you got some people goes, eh, it probably doesn't happen. And the truth is probably in the middle. You got a little bit of it going on. And just, I guess, from being from the Army, Department of Defense, and probably what you saw, I don't want you to share anything that will get you in trouble, probably what you saw with other countries and stuff like that. How does this stack up? Is do some of these, I mean, some of the stuff we're putting someone in a stroller, obviously, is very, is what it is for that time frame, made sense probably. Nowadays with the more modern stuff, is it sophisticated like you would see from other places all around the world when they're trying to do stuff via military or probably in a country, or is it still pretty rudimentary, I guess? Like, how does it sort of compare and contrast to what you saw from your military time?
Yeah, so it's a little bit of both. So, you know, you've got stuff like, you know, NFL headsets, which are protected by military level encryption. That doesn't mean teams can't hack into those potentially, because all they're protected by a password. You need a password to be able to get in there. And then if you have the password and you know the channel, guess what? It doesn't matter how heavily encrypted it is. You're in, right? And that is something that is very much feared in the NFL and is suspected of happening. Now, the Patriots have been accused of headset tampering in the past, and everyone's always wondered, well, how could they manage it? Okay, yes, the signs are there of them doing it, but how is it even possible giving that level of encryption? Well, for an anonymous former Patriots assistants have come out and said, you know what? Stealing other team's signals, videotaping them, wasn't the most helpful thing during Spygate. It was actually sneaking into opponents' locker rooms while teams were warming up on the field and stealing play sheets out of those locker rooms. Now, okay, that's a big deal, right? So you're getting the first 10 to 15 plays of another team. But, right, you're also potentially, if you can steal play sheets, what else can you steal? Any paperwork with, you know what? What frequency we're going to use and what's the password that's protecting it, right? And so, you know, as complicated as spying gets, it, both in football and internationally, oftentimes all this complicated stuff like encryption is protected by very simple stuff. And, you know, it comes down to having a person sneak into a location, right? Stuff that's been used throughout the history. You know, spying is known as the world's second oldest profession. And, you know, it's a lot of the same old tricks with new technology blended in. What I will say is that, you know, when it comes to defending, teams are generally better. They have a more professional approach to defending information than they do gathering information, from what I have seen during my research. So meaning that most teams have a former FBI agent who works their security as their security official who can assist on these types of matters and give them, you know, some, you know, helping hand when needed. But most of the time they don't have an actually trained collector of information, so to speak, you know, a guy who worked as a spy, for example, you know. And so you get a lot of great stories like, you know, people, you know, putting a little person in a stroller or, you know, which seems almost silly.
But it works.
But, you know, it can, and it can make some great stories because it's just left to these coaches' imagination, which is great too. But you do have some teams. Al Davis, he hired a former case officer who used to work out of work in Berlin for the Army and, you know, ran spies. And so you do have some teams that'll hire guys like that to be able to help out. But it's not the norm from what I have seen.
Yeah. It just seems like every story always leads back to New England. Every story leads back to New England. You know what? You got to give them credit. They try. They're looking for every edge they can get. And if it works, God bless them. And what have they really lost? A draft pick here or a draft pick there? It's not the end of the world.
Yeah.
I'll take a couple Super Bowls. I mean, come on.
That's it. I mean, if you're willing to lose a draft pick or two, it's not a bad trade. And look at these coaches that are doing this stuff, okay? Paul Brown, right?
Legendary, yeah.
Weeb Eubank for the Jets.
Legendary. Right? Won a Super Bowl, yeah.
George Halas, you know.
My father
in the league, Al Davis, you know.
Legendary. All legendary guys.
These are – exactly. And they are winning – you know, most of these guys are winning multiple Super Bowls, creating dynasties. It's there's not, you know, it's not just, you know, pure random chance that these are the guys that are involved in this type of activity that, you know, this helps them get to where that, you know, where they got to win those championships, to build dynasties. And so it doesn't surprise me that you know, Belichick is doing this because
he's an old school guy. He's an old school guy who came from that world. And he knew a lot, not all those guys. He learned from guys who learned at those people's knees. And that, I mean, he's an older guy. He's been around forever. He probably heard the stories. And he's probably like, you know what? Nobody else is doing this these days. I'll show them. And that's probably all it took.
Well, that's it. I mean, Sid Gilman, when he was on, or rather Al Davis, when he was on Sid Gilman's Charger staff, right? He snuck into another team's he snuck into the Broncos locker room and posed as a reporter to ask a member of the Broncos defense, hey, at least a member of their team, hey, what's the toughest thing, you know, for you in this situation? And the player was diagramming everything on a board for Al Davis, who was taking copious notes on all of this, right? And you know, so obviously Al Davis learns this from Sid Gilman's staff, right? Belichick, who's he a fan of? Well, he's a fan of Al Davis. He grew up, you know, idolizing Al Davis. And so, you know, this spying tech, just like there are coaching trees, there are coaching trees for how do teams learn to spy and cheat as well. And it is absolutely something that has passed on.
Yes. And everyone should check out this book, Spies on the Sidelines, The High Stakes World of NFL Espionage. Go to the website, spiesonthesidelines.com. Go to amazon.com, anywhere where you get your books. And you can follow Kevin. You can follow Kevin Bryant on Twitter at Kev Bryant Author. I'm sorry. I think I said that wrong the first time. At Kev Bryant Author. I'll have the link to it up on our site and, of course, in the podcast description. Kev, this sounds like an amazing book. I can't wait to actually read the whole thing from start to finish. It's a very interesting topic. And I think for many fans, it'll be very eye-opening on what happened in the past, which seems like it was running rampant, and what's still happening in the modern era up to today and how it's being done now, how this stuff's going on. There's espionage. Teams are looking for any edge they can get. There's so much money involved, jobs on the line. Any edge anyone can get, they're going to take it. And that's essentially what this is all about, this book.
Yeah, that's it. Well, thanks a bunch for having me on. Really appreciate it.
I really appreciate you coming on. Everyone, check out Spies on the Sidelines. Like I said, everyone have a great day, and we will talk to you again after a while.
Thank you for listening to the DolphinsTalk.com podcast. Be sure to visit DolphinsTalk.com every day for all of your latest Miami Dolphins news.